have one specific theme that I would like to discuss tonight, but I'll introduce it by reading the Psukim in the beginning of the Parsha of Kisavo. The Torah introduces in the beginning of Parsha of Kisavo the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim consists of two chalokim. The first chalok is to bring the Bikurim. And then there's a second chalok of the mitzvah, we'll read the Psukim in a moment, which involves Kriyas HaParsha, reading a particular Parsha in Chumash. That Parsha is well known because it's the Parsha of Arami Yovi Lovi. The Mishnah writes in Psochim, in Avri Psochim, Dorshim mi Arami Yovi Lovi at Sheigmo kol HaParsha Kula. The night of Pesach, we darshim that Parsha. We take literally every word, we examine it, and it's subjected to exegesis, to drush. So let's read the beginning of the Psukim of Kisavo, and then we'll get to the theme that I'm interested in. The Torah says, if you have a chumash in front of you, it'll be helpful. V'hayo kisavo la'aretz asher Hashem elokecha nosein lecho nachalo b'yirishto v'yashavta bo. So Chazal tell us, and the Pasuk says very clearly, the mitzvah bikurim, of bringing the first fruit, only begins when? After kibush v'chiluk, after 14 years of conquest and dividing the land. V'lokachto mereshitz kol pri ha'adama she'tavi mi'aretzecha, you're obligated to take the first fruits, asher Hashem elokecha nosein lok v'samto b'tene. You have to put them in the basket, the farmer. Which is an expression that's found throughout Sefer Dvarim. Whenever the Torah wants to describe Yerushalayim, the Torah describes it with the following terminology. El ha-mokom asher yivchar Hashem elokecha l'shaken shmo sham. A rather elaborate kind of description. But it's a description that we are familiar with, especially in Parshas Re'eh. If you look for a moment in Parshas Re'eh, for those who have a chumash in front of them, so on page 464 in Sefer Dvarim, in my pagination is 464. Perek Yud Beis, I'll just show you a few psukim that are commonly utilized in Sefer Dvarim. For example, take a look at Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk K. The Torah says, "Ki yimel ha-mokem ha-sheyivcha ha-shem ha-lokechem mikol shivtechem l'asum ha-shemo shom l'shichno sidu shuvas ha-shom," which is a very much a paraphrase of what we just saw now. That's in Pasuk K. And then a bit later in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ayah ha-mokem ha-sheyivcha ha-shem ha-lokechem bo l'shaken shmo shoma taviyu et kol ha-she'anokim mitzavei eschem. The obligation to bring all these korbanos is dafka where? Ha-mokem ha-sheyivcha ha-shem ha-lokechem l'shaken shmo shoma. The place which is known for Hashuas Hashchina. So very fascinating that the Torah uses this language. Again, a bit later in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Ches, it's talking about the love of Yidim Ma'aser Sheni outside Yerushalayim. In Pasuk Yud Ches, the Torah says, page 465 in the Red Chumash pagination, Ki im lefnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu b'mokom asher yivcha Hashem elokecha bo. The place that was chosen by Hashem is Barach. A bit later, when the Torah speaks about the Sugya in Chulin, Babsar Taiva, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chavalov, Ki yichak minucha amokam asher yivcha Hashem elokecha losum shemo shom. So this is fascinating that this kind of expression is only found in Sefer Dvarim. I'm not going to go through all the other places, but you can take my word for it. It's found in Sefer Dvarim. It's unique, endemic to Sefer Dvarim. One of the many aspects of Sefer Dvarim that differs markedly from all the other Chumashim. And the Torah we know earlier in Shmos describes the Mishkan, but the Mishkan is never described in such terminology. This is very unique to Sefer Dvarim. Okay, that's just an aside, if you don't mind. I continue here in Pasuk Gimel. The farmer comes to the Kohen who presides. And he tells the Kohen, Higadati Ayom Hashem Elokecha. Let's translate this. Higadati Ayom. What is the meaning of Higadati Ayom? Miloshen Hagodah. What does Hagodah mean? To narrate the word Hagodah, the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal pointed out, has many, many different translations. Either it can mean Higadati Ayom in the form of narrative, narrating a story, or what else could the word lahagid mean besides narrating or telling a story? What else could it mean? I'm sorry. No. You have to think of a psukim in Tanakh. If you know of any psukim in Tanakh that perhaps have this word found in another context or another kind of setting,
declare.
Where do you see that idea? What was that? No. I'm talking about the word higadati. He got began to the Vimcha by Yom HaUleimor. Correct? That's the most important pasuk, the Pasha, that we are familiar with. Began to the Vimcha by Yom HaUleimor, which means to tell. It's part of the mitzvah Sipur. It's Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim that takes place on Leil HaSeder. There are other definitions of this term. I'm just calling your attention to it. So the Torah says, what does the farmer say to the Kohen? He got it to Yayom. He's telling him, Lashem Elokecha, Kivasi al Aretz, I've come here to Eretz Yisrael, the land that Hashem swore to give to our forebears, to our forefathers. So right away, one is thunderstruck by an expression here, which really, seemingly, is very difficult. Namely, he says to the Kohen, I am here, and I'm speaking to whom? Lashem Elokecha, to your God. What, it's not his God? It's only the God of the Kohen? You hear the problem? I continue. V'lokach ha-kohen ha-tenem yodecha, the Kohen takes the tenem, the basket, v'inicho, places it, v'naymizmach Hashem elokecha. And then another difficult pasuk. V'yoniso v'yamato, v'yashem elokecha. What does the word v'yoniso mean? You will? Any translate v'yoniso? You will answer. Answer to what? Has a question been posed that there should be an answer? This never bothers the Jewish people. We always have what to say, even when no question is posed. So what is the meaning of the Yanisa V'yamarta? Very striking expression. All the Rishonim are troubled by this. Rashi on the spot says, V'yanisa l'shon haramas kol. Very fascinating Rashi. Rashi says, you have to raise your voice. So Rashi seems to be addressing a halachic issue. I mentioned the halachic issue. So we'll get to Chabur Shekhev. There's a din called Shomer Kohen. Everyone's familiar with it. Every Friday night when someone makes Kiddush, so we hear the Kiddush, the person who makes Kiddush is Motzias, correct? We listen to the Kiddush, and we are Yotze through his Kiddush. He helps us discharge our obligation to make Kiddush. Kiddush is not a communal obligation. It's an individual obligation. You've always bought every Yachid to make Kiddush. Zachar Hashem HaShavaz Lekatcha, the Torah says. Correct? Zachreyu, the Yayin. The Kiddush itself is a Din Daraisa, the fact that we do it on Yayin, that's a Din Darabonon, but there's an obligation to make Kiddush. So he helps us, the person who's making Kiddush. Often it's done in very large groups of people. Barovam Habas Melech. That's also Din Shulchan Aruch. And he helps us being Motzi Archiv of Kiddush. How are we Yotzi? To what Din? Shomea Ka'oneh. Meaning, by virtue of our hearing the Kiddush, Ka'oneh. It's as if we said the Kiddush. The word Ka'oneh means to answer or to say. The Gemara says in Sukkah that even without answering Amin, we're Yotzi. The Chatchila, she answer Amin. Correct? To the Kiddush. But the Gemara says, Shomea V'loi Amin Yotzi. Even if I don't answer Amin, the din is on Yotze, the chiv of Kiddush. That's a din called Shomer Ka'oneh. So when does Shomer Ka'oneh apply? You're learning brachas. I assume you got to the first Mishnah of Bez Manalach. I imagine. Did you? Baruch Hashem. Anachnu mitkadmim, we're making progress. So the Mishnah has a striking statement. It says, Ein Korin Atashma, or rather, how does it begin? Ein Masai Korin Atashma Be'arvi. What bothers you right away? He's my Rebbe, Rabbi Bakshi. What bothers you right away? The first, literally, the moment you see the Mishnah, it says, Ve'emasai Korin, Lashon Rabin. Why does it use Lashon Rabin? Why the plural? What should it use? The singular. Is Kriya Shema a communal obligation or a Chayvas Yochid? It's an individual obligation, correct? You, even you, are obligated to say Kriya Shema. Why is that? How do you know that? Maybe you're not obligated to say Kriya Shema. What does it say? What's the mocker you're obligated to say Kriya Shema each Yochid? Correct, Meshach Mechav Gumecha, that's on the entire first page. Folio 2A, Berako. So, Shogunstein, you gotta give him some credit. So it's a Chayves Yochid. So why does the Mishnah say, Mehmasai Korin, Lashon Rabin? You hear, you guys here? Okay, please answer the question. I'm a novice at Brachas and many other things as well. So perhaps you'll tell me why the Mishnah uses a Lashon Yochid. Name aside Korin, should let's use Lashon, use Lashon Rabin, not Lashon Yochid. So the Vilna Gaon has a Perush HaMishnayis. And he writes in his Perush HaMishnayis, he quotes a Ran. The Ran is in Rosh Hashanah. The Ran quotes a Yushalmi. Yushalmi says there are certain things that there's no din of Shomer Ka'oneh. This din that we just described doesn't apply. What are the three areas that the Yushalmi quotes that the Ran cites in Masechet Rosh Hashanah? Number one, Kriya Shema. Number two, Bechaz Amazon. Number three, Tefillah. There's no Dinah Shomer Ka'oneh. What does that mean? Can you make Bechaz Amazon for me? You can't. Why? What does the pasuk say? The only bracha that's midaraisa, the parsha native says, V'achalta, V'savata, can I eat for you? I would like to. Slightly difficult. I'm obligated to eat if I wish to continue this existence. V'savata, when I'm saveya, when I'm satiated, I'm obligated to make a bracha. V'achalta, V'savata, V'achalta. That's a bracha min haTorah. The only bracha that's min haTorah is Birchas Hamazon. The exception of the Ramban who holds that even Birchas haTorah is the Raisa. You didn't get that far in brachas. The Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph. But I'm saying that here you have a Mishnah Daf Bezal and Aleph. Why does it use Lashon Rabbi? So the Gaon says there are three things that there's no din of Shomer Koneh. I can't say Kriya Shema for you. One, two. I can't bench for you. You ate. You are satiated. You have to bench. And three, I can't daven for you. Every person has to daven for himself, for herself, even though. Is there an inyan of davening for someone else? If someone else has a problem, it's also Gemara in Brachas. What does the Gemara say? Kala mispala chaver butzar place adavar nana tchila. If I daven for you, and I also am in need of the same tzarech that you need, so then Hashem will answer my tefillah. So of course you should pray for others. But in terms of the actual obligation of tefillah, every person has their own obligation. So the Gaon is medayek based on this ran. According to Yerushalmi, Lashon Rabbim, ain't current, there's no din of Shomer Koneh. Why do I mention this? Because here, Rashi says, Lashon HaRamas Kol, V'yanisa V'amarta. Somehow there's some response, but there's no question that was posed over here. So what's he responding to? So the Ibn Ezra, on the spot, Ibn Ezra is a wonderful parsha. The Rama writes, and he writes to his son that the only Mefarish that he should study is whom? The Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is outstanding. We are frightened of Ibn Ezra, all of us. Why? Because he speaks a lot about Diktok. The moment we hear about Diktok, we're frightened out of our wits. We run for our lives. You know what Diktok is? Grammar. Do they teach grammar anymore? No. Why? It's hard. That's a true statement. But without grammar, you don't have a... You can't really approach the Hebrew language. You have to have Hebrew language. Hebrew language is very important. Anyway, so the Anisa Ramata, Rashi said, Lashon HaRamas Kol. What is Rashi trying to tell us? So the reason why I mention this again, Chabura of Kohanim, is because of the following issue raised by the Chazon Ish, by the Netziv, and by the Salevi. Many, many Gdolei Yisrael spoke about this issue. Let's say you have a Kohen, Birchas Kohanim, you're familiar, we have it every day here in Eretz Yisrael. Among the thousand reasons to make Aliyah is Birchas Kohanim. I'm zochet to a bracha from Hashem is brach every single day. Those who saw me on Sunday, I say Ashikach to every Kohen. Because, wow, Hashem is giving me a bracha. How can I not give them a Ashikach? How can I not thank them? Plus the Mishnah Berurah mentions it. So, puts me there. The Mishnah Berurah says it, that's what you should do. He just tells you not to do it during Kaddish. Wait till after Kaddish. You shouldn't be mafsik in the middle of Kaddish. But I give a Ashikach to the Kohen. I mentioned a number of times why I do so. Won't go into it right now. But there's a question in Halacha. Let's say a Kohen is sore, has a sore throat, and he can't talk. He's sarud. So the question is, can another Kohen, his fellow Kohen, what do they call him? A co-religionist. Are you familiar with that terminology? Bakshi. Man of his stature. Wow. Hashem should bless you. When I saw him and I heard his name, I said there was a chief rabbi here called Rabbi Bakshi Daron. Do you have any connection with him? Who's Swadi Tahor? That's Swadi Tahor. Tahor. I'm not joking. I was in Deal, New Jersey, about 2.5 weeks ago, for a chassid of one of the outstanding alumni of this yeshiva. And there were a lot of kohen in there. They duchen every day. Thank God I was there in Deal, as opposed to the rest of Chutzaret, which is Malay Tuma. The Gemara says it, all of a shas. Tuma Seretz Amin. Anyway, so I'll tell you two things. Of the many things that I love about the Sfarad. One, all the Kohanim came forward to Duchen. It was unbelievable. What a sight. Must have been 50 Kohanim at the Minyan Adam. Two, I came to speak after the Minyan, after both Minyan and the Rav, or Rav Kassin Shlita asked me to speak. The moment I got up to speak, every single person in the room got up for me. I didn't know exactly whom they were getting up for. Apparently because of the white hairs that I had. They say they're talking with Mark Dushin. Question, what age it is. But anyway, I was Nishmael from two things. Derech Eretz, Kvod HaTorah, Mashu. And you say you're not a Sfadi Tahor. You are a Sfadi Tahor, Shebet Tahori. And there's all like you. Pekitzer, Shomei HaKoneh. So now the question is, can another coin be Motzi me? Can I be Yotzi with his bracha to Shomei HaKoneh? What's the din? So comes the Beis HaLevi, the Netziv, and the Chazon Ish, a long discussion. At the end of the day, they say, no. Why doesn't it work? Because there's no Shomei HaKoneh whenever you need what? Cold rum. One of the requirements of Bichas Kohanim is cold rum. Kohen has to raise his voice. Besides the other requirements that the Kohanim here will tell you, Baruch Hashem, we are yeshiva this year. We are blessed with many Kohanim. Ken Yirbu! Anyway, I always wanted to be a Kohen. Never. Hashem didn't give me that bracha. When I was a little kid, I was very curious, what's going on there? Under the talisim. So I was 2 years old, maybe a year and a half old, I remember. And then my father told me I was a rascal, shenkamo. And so my father used to hold on to us. He liked to cover us with a talis. And then, of course, I used to run away every time. Not too difficult. Anyway, and then I went under the car. I would go from one to the next. What in heaven's name are they doing there? A lot of funny voodoo stuff. That's what I thought it was. The occult. Necromancy. I don't know what they were engaged in. Took me many years to realize what was going on. I'm being honest with you. I didn't know how to deal with it. Anyway, there's a din of Kol Ram. So apparently the halacha is, there's no din of Shomer Kaoneh when there's a requirement of Kol Ram. So that's what this Rashi seems to say. V'yonisa v'amarta, there's no din of Shomer Kaoneh. Okay, this was just an aside. Let's not count that in the time that I have. Let's just put that aside. Pretend it was not. Take it out of the, strike it from the record. I just mentioned it to you. But there's a problem here. So the Ibn Ezra, on the spot, tells you the following. He starts quoting Psukim in Eov. You know Eov?
Job.
Job. You know the job? I mentioned the Rabbi Schwab's, that's all. The Rabbi Breuer's wrote a sefer. On Eov, a beautiful, beautiful sefer. But I always tell the story, this is another true story. I'm on the plane, I always somehow sit next to Galochim on planes. I don't know why I'm zochet to that. Maybe because I'm a Galoch myself. Galoch means a priest. I'm a kind of priest, a Jewish rabbi priest. Anyway, so I'm sitting next to this Galoch, and he starts quoting to me, this several years ago, Psukim, in English, from where? A book called Job. I don't know what he's talking about. Job. What job? But I was embarrassed to ask him, because he sees me, and he assumed I was a rabbi, and he's quoting Job. But I taught Eo for 3 years. And I realized after a while, he's quoting Psukim from Eo. But he calls it Job. And I said to him, with all due respect, your sacerdotal authority, I pronounce it Job. He just ignored me and continued just quoting from Job. I was inspired. He knew the entire book of Job by heart. The whole job he knew. Amazing. I said to myself, Beis Meir, we don't know any Tanakh at all, and this Baptist priest knows the entire job by heart. I was astounded. Anyway, the Ibn Ezra here quotes Psukim from Job. What Psukim does he quote? You know what happened with Eov? You know what happened with Eov? He was a wealthy man, and then suddenly he lost everything. Wealth, children, family, hot cold, back cold, me cold, cold. We're not getting involved now how it happened and the sultan and the whole dialogue with Hashem Yisbarach and what have you. He lost everything. So what happened? His friends come to comfort him, to provide him with solace, with nechama, with consolation. So the Psukim in Eov describe the different approaches. There are several theological approaches that each one has. Who is the one who delineates it? The Ramban. Nachmanides in his Perush on Eov. He attempts to define each of the approaches to the problem of theodicy, which is the Gemara in Brachos, Tani Gemaralo, Rashi Vatoglo, or the way, why do you say that gentleman who wrote the book? Why do bad things happen to good people? The whole full of books on that topic. They don't exactly follow the Ramban's approach. But whatever the case is, the Ramban has this discussion in his Perush on Eov, a lengthy, lengthy Perush. You need many, many years to go through it, and a lot of patience and forbearance and what have you. Anyway, so the Ibn Ezra quotes his Tukim. What in heaven's name does the Ibn Ezra want? Why is he quoting the Tukim? Bayan Alifaz Atimani, Bayan this one, Elder, and the other one. What does he want? He compares it to this Yonisa. Apparently, just as they responded to Job's trials and tribulations, somehow this farmer's also responded. To what? So I heard from a Rebbe of mine. I had a Rebbe whose name was Avtzidov Kanatovsky. He was the rabbi in Young Israel of West Hempstead. Who's here from West Hempstead? West Hempstead, okay. He was the rabbi there. The first rabbi of Young Israel West Hempstead. Before Rabbi Shalom Gold. You know Rabbi Shalom Gold? He's my Rebbe. He lives here in Yerushalayim. Harnof. He has a big shul in Harnof. He's now emeritus. He said to me one day, what do you mean emeritus? I'm Rabbi Emeritus. I did it purposely. Anyway, the kids are... I speak English somewhat coherently. Anyway, the point being that there were several very chashuv rabbanim, including Yibad Al-Chaim Arukin, or Rav Kellerman. Hashem should give him a meyav ve'aboyim shana. So, my Rebbe, Rav Kanatovsky, one of my children is named after him, Tzvi Dov. You met him? Okay, one day I hope you'll meet him. So, the Anisa Amarta, he said the following. He's a farmer who's coming from a distant rural hamlet in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't feel any connection to the Beis HaMikdash. What shaykhs do I have to the Beis HaMikdash? To all of his pageantry and pomp and ceremony and who knows what? And that's why, what does he say to the Kohen? He got it to Yayom, L'Hashem Elokecha, it's your God. This is a comment of Rabbeinu Bechaye. You know him? There are two people who wrote a very famous Sforim, Bachye and Bekuda. Famous Havov, said, Rabbeinu Bechaye al HaTorah. Are you familiar with that Sefer? I hope you'll become familiar with that Sefer. Because if you want to learn Ramban al HaTorah, which I'm sure you do, and do, you will be helped and enhanced by Rabbeinu Bechaye's Perush al HaTorah. He has this comment, al Hashem Elokecha. I saw it. So apparently what happened, the farmer feels disconnected. That's not good to feel disconnected. People come to Eretz Yisrael, come to yeshiva, we're trying to sit and learn all day, and some people may ask themselves, what in heaven's name is going on here? What is this funny Gemara stuff that we are doing all day? How does it connect with me? And how am I related to it? You wouldn't ask this question because you're a Sfaradi Tahor. But the Ashkenazim, she'inam kol kach tahorim, do ask this question. People like me. You have it in your blood. Emuna. Sfaradim also have Emuna. Ashkenazim. Depends on what day. Some days I have Emuna, some days forget about it. I'm half jesting. Don't take everything I say as gospel. Bahabdul. Anyway, so my Rebbe said, that's exactly what's happening here. This farmer who feels disconnect, he's not connected to Hashem, to the Rebbe Shalom, to the Beis HaMikdash, to Torah, to Kedushin, to Brachas, to anything. He sees the Kohen, takes his basket, puts it where? In front of his Mizbeach. He's overwhelmed. And what does he do? He begins to now, shall we say, the way that the Torah describes, he recites the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, which is essentially, what is that Parsha? Let's take a look. Pasuk Hei Vav Zayin Ches. Arami Ovid Avi. By the way, it's a Machlokes Rishonim, you probably know. And those three words, Arami Ovid Avi. How do you translate that? Arami Ovid Avi. Two ways to translate it. An Arami in Aramaean, Ovid Avi, wanted to destroy my father. If that's the translation, who's he referring to? I'm sorry? Lavan. Lavan Arami wanted to destroy whom? Yaakov Avinu. Second shot, a wandering Aramean was my father. Obey means, based on Pasuk Dillon, a few other places in Tanakh, who's that wandering Aramean? Who wandered? Avram Avinu. So you have different shots in Mirishayim. But anyway, so he starts telling over what happened in the history of the Jewish people going down to Mitzrayim, and then Hashem subjected us to the Egyptians, and then we cried out. Hashem responded and took us out. B'yor chazak azon the tuyah. And where did he bring us? Pasuk Tes and Yud. He gave us Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And now here I am bringing my Bikurim Hashem. And he, of course, is absolutely overwhelmed and in a state of now joy. This Pasha, the Rishonim point out, the Chinuch and the Ramban, and Kemal, all of the Rishonim is based on Hakaras HaTov. And Hashem gives us plenty, and Hashem provides us with all of our needs. We're obligated to Makri Tov, but to thank Hashem for all that he has done. And you can see the unbelievable Simcha that the Torah describes over here in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then also a bit later. And of course, then we ask Hashem to bless us Pasuk Tezvah, which is Nogia Tabichas Kohenim Moshe, Hashkiv Mankachim Rashamayim, Varchas Amchas Yisrael. I can't get into it right now, but this is a question that why is this found in Tabichas Kohenim? I'm not discussing it, but I'm talking about the transformation that takes place over here in this parasha. So, what I want to talk about is not only that, but another pasuk in Kisava, which is famous. Rabbi Olshan Shlita is very fond of this pasuk and often quotes it, namely the Telchacha in Kisava, where the Torah tells us that there's one reason why we underwent all the difficulty that we underwent. You know, the Ramban writes that the first Telchacha, which is found in the Chukosai, is connected to Churban Bayis Rishon. The second Tochacha here in Kisavo is Neged Chud by Yishen. So the Torah tells us, why do we undergo this whole, shall we say, process of desuetude? Look in Perach Chavches, Pasuk Mem Zayin, page 499 in the pagination. One reason. Tachas, Asher lo avarachas, Asher lo kecha, besimcha v'tub leva merov kol. You know why? You know why we were subjected to such a harsh punishment? For one reason, because we did not serve Hashem, b'toch what? Mitoch Simcha. When everything was abundant, we should have observed Hashem. Mitoch Simcha, we didn't do so. So, one can ask the following question. Is there a mitzvah in the Torah to be with Simcha? I know there's a well-known niggin. How does it go? Mitzvah gedayla liyaz v'simcha, liyaz v'simcha tami. The Sadhu sing that too? I don't think so. Where's the mitzvah gedayla liyaz v'simcha? Please tell me where in Chumash, with the exception of one commandment that I know, on Chag, what does it say on Chag? B'samachta? B'chagecha. Is there any specific mitzvah in the Torah, anywhere in the entire Torah, in the five books of Moses, and in the Pentateuch, and in the Schottenstein Pentateuch, and any other Pentateuch, is there any mitzvah to be b'simcha? I'm not familiar with it. Rabakshi, mata omer? So that's the case. The severity of the punishment, would you not say it's not justified? It's not warranted? So what's the reason for the punishment? And the answer seems to be, I think, because when you perform mitzvahs with joy, it's a sign that you're serving Hashem with Ahava. Is there a mitzvah to love Hashem? There certainly is. Where is it found? Sorry? The first parsha of Kriyat Shema. According to Rashi and Brachos that based on the Aleph, how many parshas are there in Kriyat Shema? One. The first parsha of Kriyat Shema, Rashi and Brachos that based on the Aleph. How do I know that? Which Rashi am I talking about? What does Rashi say?
Obligate to only read the first paragraph when you go to sleep.
Yes, excellent. The Kriyat Shema. Wow. Maybe the Rebbe. He's my Rebbe. He's the man. In other words, Simcha is part of the obligation of Avos Hashem. There's a Gemara in Shabbos that I jotted down for myself. The Gemara at the beginning of Elazar the Milah. The Gemara speaks about the Bris Milah, the Mitzvah Milah. The Gemara says, Kol Mitzvah, Shekiblo Alem B'Simcha, whatever commandment we accepted upon ourselves with joy, Adayin Osim Osav B'Simcha, we still do it with Simcha. And God forbid, the opposite is also true. If we don't serve Hashem with joy, then Rahman al-Litzlan, we're going to be, Rahman al-Litzlan, subjected to all kinds of terrible consequences. So serving Hashem with Ahava, with love, of course has to be accompanied with fear, but the Teichacha, in this week's Pasha, the Torah says that at the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, because that's what the Parsha Kisavah was talking about, as opposed to the Chacha and B'chul Kosai, that refers to the first Beis HaMikdash, and even though all other reasons are offered for the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, what does the Gemara say? Why is the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of Sinat Chinam, 100%. And yet, what does the Torah say here? The decline of the Jewish people and the Onesh was because of a lack of Simcha, a lack of joy. Now, you know there are many places, I assume you're familiar with this, I'm sure you are, but the halacha says that simcha is a tnai, is a condition fulfilling the mitzvah. For example, why is not birchas kohanim said in chutz la'aretz? What? Because, I want to listen to this. It's not the only reason, but it's one mentioned by the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. You know why you don't do birchas kohanim in chutz la'aretz? Sfaradim don't have a problem. I'll tell you the reason in a moment. You'll understand the relevance of Sfaradim in a second. But the Rambam said the reason is because in Chutz Haaretz, they're preoccupied with making panasa, with making a living. It's very difficult to make a living in Chutz Haaretz. And that's why you can't say Birchas Kohanim, because they're not in the state of Simcha. Here in Israel, panasa is a jiffy. No problem at all. When I saw that reasoning, decades ago, I said to my father, Zecher Lebracha, what? You hear what I am saying to you? As far as you know, apparently they have no problem with panasa and Chutz Haaretz. That's why they say Birchas Kohanim every day. Ashkenazim have problems. Regarding the mitzvah of Ma'aseh Sheni, there's a pasuk here in Dvarim. Since you have a chumash, I'll show it to you. Perek Chavav, pasuk Yudalit. This is part of the mitzvah of Yidui Ma'aseh. The Torah says, La'achalti ba'oni mimeno. I have not eaten it when I'm an onan. An onan who just lost a close relative and not yet buried him is not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni and kachim because you have to eat them in a state of joy. And the halacha is that this is also even if there's nobody else to eat the karbon. For example, the sirah chatas that was burned immediately following the death of Nadav Avihu, despite the fact that Aaron and his sons were owning him, won't be able to eat the meat. Eating from the karbonos while you want is an owning detracts from the honor of Hashem Yisbarach. And the Torah says, La'achal tibon yimimenu. You have to be b'simcha. So unquestionably, one who does mitzvahs b'simcha has a stronger bond with Hashem Yisbarach. And since the whole purpose of our creation is to cling to Hashem Yisbarach, clearly that's going to be enhanced if we have simcha. No doubt about it. And we have to cling to Hashem. We know the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Al Shosh Edvarim Ha'olam Omeh, what are the three things? Al Torah, Al Avoda. Thank you. Al Midas Chasadim. The first way, of course, is, as it says, Al Torah. What does that refer to? The study of Torah gives us an insight into Hashem Yisbarach, into His thinking, into what He wants us to do. The second alavoda refers to what? Tefillah, unquestionably. Of course, Bizman HaMikdash, it was the karbonot, the sacrifices, today it's replaced. The Gemara in Brachas, what does the Gemara say? Tefillah keneged? Tefillah tikkun, the Gemara in the fourth paragraph, Tefillah HaShachar. The Rambam has to pass in both opinions. Tefillah keneged tefillah, and tefillah keneged avos tikkun. The avos from the sacred tefillah, Shachar is mincha mayer, and it's also keneged the karbonos. So that's the second alavoda. And the third is, Nil Chasodim. Hashem created the world in order that what? That we should have a better place to live. I was once present with Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal, my Rebbe, spoke about the following. I don't know what you started, when you started learning Talmud, what did you do? Which parak do people generally learn when they're, I don't know, fifth grade, fourth grade? Today they learn in the first grade with Brisket Tema. But let's say at one time when they were still normal. So they learned actually, what time did you start in fifth grade? Sixth grade. They learned what parak usually is the most favorite parak? Vav Metzia. And which parak? Eilu Metzia. So I, for years, have been asking, why in heaven's name do they teach young children such a parak? I learned with a number of my grandchildren this parak already a number of times. One of them is able to say over the whole parak, every kashin, abayin rabban, yesh lo midas, aviyesh lo aviyesh. To me, it's all one big blur. Again, another kasha. Noha kasha. Noha kasha. How many kashas can you ask after a while? For goodness sakes. And why that parak? Do you find that parak to be exciting? Rav Siegel? Wow, you're a tzaddik, you say, but I'm just saying, of course, tzaddik, ben tzaddik, brother tzaddik, family tzaddikim, so okay. But people like me find that parak to be, shall we say, not the most exciting parak in the world. Why do they teach that parak? Why do they teach brachas? Isn't brachas exciting? Brachas is wicked. Cool. That would be cool today. Brachas is cool. Eilu Metzias is nerdy. Only for nerds. Could you explain why we learned that parak? So I went to Rav Soloveitchik. He made the following statement. He said, the reason is because all the sharp svaras are found in the Zikin. Lashon Zikin, you know, we're learning Lashon now Kedushin. And the Zikin, Baba Kama, Baba Tzia, Baba Rasa, all the sharp svarim have been written on these, the Ktais, the Shev Shmaitza, Abdel Lulma, Kedushin. Sharp svarim, what do I mean? You want to develop
our thinking, our critical thinking skills, that's what we should learn.
But he said, my cousin didn't agree with me. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein held not like that. You know Rabbi Feinstein? He was a great Ashkenazi Gadol. There are some Ashkenazi Gadol too. Anyway, so he said, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the reason why we study Elam Matthias, because we want to teach people Derech Eretz for other people's property. And obviously, if we have Derech Eretz for someone's property, Kal V'chaim, the Moshe Kal V'chaim, will have Derech Eretz for what? For their persona. Kal V'chaim, A fortiori Noach. He's my Rebbe in Frumkeit. Whatever he tells me to do, salami baloney. Very chashuv. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that his cousin was right. That's the reason why we want to teach people to be sensitive to other people's property, not to injure anyone, not to injure property, to be respectful of other people's property. That's very important yesod. That's why we teach Elam Matzias. From that point on, everything became very clear. I'm back here. You're probably aware that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Habo Aleinu L'Tova, differ from other Yom Tov in many respects. There are karbanos that are brought every Yom Tov called Shalmi Simcha. You ever learned the first Mishneh Chagiga? You probably did. Perhaps you don't remember too well because of before you were born. But the Malach apparently did a good job. Not in your case. You're an outstanding fellow. Anyway, the Shalmi Simcha are not brought at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why these karbanos not brought at Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara says to us, for example, what else is not done on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? You don't say what? Hallel. Why not? Gemara says in Erech, and the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara says all over Shas. What does Gemara say? Why do we say Hallel Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Because, what's the reason? Melech Yoshev al Kisei Rach, al Kisei Adin, Mesipre Chai, Mesipre Eze, Psukum Levan, Abad Tem Rom, Mishira. The king is about to judge the world, and you're going to sing a song to Hashem Yisbarach. What else do we not say in Shemoneh Esrei? I don't know, I have to ask the Sfardim what they do. There's a paragraph that we say, V'asteinu Hashem Elokeinu, as Birkas Moadecha, remember that? V'chaim Elosol, V'sintu L'sasim, V'shenim, have a whole tumult, the Rosh, and the Rif, and the Ramban, and the Balamar, and everybody in town, at the end of Rosh Hashanah. We don't say it. Why not? Because there's something apparently missing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that element of Simcha, which is pronounced. When on Yom Tov, it's not as pronounced as Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Ad kidei kach Rav Kook, Zatzal, you know Rabbi Kook? You heard of him? Who was Rabbi Kook? First chief rabbi of the state of Israel. A gon shen kamo, a tzaddik shen kamo. People had difficulty understanding him. It was very complicated. Generally, the Gedolei Yisrael are very complicated. But Rabbi Kook said that on Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Chag Sameach. Many people tell me Chag Sameach on Rosh Hashanah. I said, why are you telling me Chag Sameach? They said, what's the problem? I said, first of all, Sameach is a question. Two, Chag is a question. Three, Rav Kook said not to say it. You paskin like Rabbi Kook? They asked me, and my answer is, I'm not worthy to be offered tachas kapos raglov. So he paskin not on Yom Kippur, because is the term Chag associated with Shon Yom Kippur in the Torah? No, that association doesn't exist. However, is there a din of Simcha that applies at all on those days? So the Shachas Aryeh, you know him? Aryeh Sha'ad Milo Yiro. Hashem Elokim Diver Milo Yinoveh, says the Navi. There's a sefer called the Shachas Aryeh. Rabbi Soloveitchik said when he was 8 or 9 years old, so he's the tutor of Bar Mitzvah boys in the Shachas Aryeh. That's how he made his pocket money. So when I was 13, I said, Shachas Aryeh has a lot of Torah and Tefillin. You know, Bar Mitzvah boys talking about Tefillin. I said over the whole Shachas Aryeh. I didn't understand a word I was talking about. I said over the whole thing. I memorized it. So a rabbi came to ask me a question. That was the end. I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And I had several grandchildren. I wrote there Bar Mitzvah drashas and Shachas Aryeh. They not only have a clue what they're talking about, they know it inside out. You know why? They grew up in Eretz Yisrael. They speak the language. There was many years ago in New York City, a station called WEBD. The station that speaks the language. They spoke Yiddish, of course. So they speak Hebrew, these Chayas HaKadosh, grandchildren. Stress the Chayas. Anyway, they speak Hebrew, and as a result, they are able to learn an enormous amount of material that you have sometimes difficulty with because you don't yet have the language skills. So I learn with them Shachas Aryeh and Gemaras and Menachos. I've done with a number of them. So Shachas Aryeh has a whole discussion on this topic, a lengthy discourse based on a diuk in the Lashon HaRambam. You probably know I've been the only Shari Tshuva. There's a minute to learn the Chodesh Elul Shari Tshuva. I do it every Elul. I don't get very far, Noach, but I try. So Shari Tshuva, my brother still also holding the beginning of Shari Tshuva, as I saw. So the Shari Tshuva discusses there's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. It's also Gemara Brachos. You know the mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur? I like that mitzvah. I like it so much that I'm machbir because it's quoted by the Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch that the mitzvah pass begins even at nighttime. So of course I'm a daktek. I start the mitzvah at nighttime. The mitzvah is Erev Yom Kippur. But some say it begins the night before. Anyways, I mean, he only gives several reasons why there's a mitzvah to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. And one of the reasons he says is to fulfill what mitzvah? Simchas Yom Tov. And that was basically, really, I should fulfill Simchas Yom Tov on what day? On Yom Kippur. But am I allowed to eat on Yom Kippur? No. So what do? I eat when? Erev Yom Kippur. That's how I fulfill the mitzvah, Simchas Yom Tov, Erev Yom Kippur. In other words, of course, we also have Simchas Yom Tov in Yom Kippur because Hashem forgives us for all of our sins. And obviously, it shows us, the joy shows that our sins worry us, we're pained by them, and that alone is a reason for Hashem to forgive us. Having the Zoya, this is for you. The Zoya says that every Yom Kippur Suda is a form of Simcha. You know the Zoya? Of course you know it. There is Sfaradi Tahor. Of course, on Yom Kippur, there has to be Gilu Berada. You have to rejoice together with trembling, Tvei Dinim, dialectic. Yom Kippur is clearly a briska. Brisk is found in Chumash. There's a song that's associated with the Chazon Ish. I actually wrote it down for myself. Chazu Bonai Chadivai. I think it's a song that Rabbi Olshin likes to sing. You familiar with it? He didn't sing it for you? Look at my dear children. The Mishtachin Betzora Del Hom. They forget their troubles. Umisaskin B'Ched B'Dilah. And we are involved in Hashem's happiness. And, of course, what happiness is that? Limud HaTorah. The greatest simcha that one can have is the simcha of Limud HaTorah. So, I just want to end. I want to be Messiah with a very famous kasha that's asked in this week's parsha. Someone actually alluded to this question earlier. I think, Noach didn't exactly ask this question, but certainly of a similar nature. If you look at this week's parsha, you'll see in Perach of Zayin, Pasuk Zayin here, the Torah says that Klal Yisrael were obligated to be Sameach, to bring Karbonos and Har Evel. Har Evel is the place where the Klalos was said, the curses. It would seem that where should in effect these Karbonos have been brought? On Har Grizim, where the Brachos were said. This question is asked by many Rishonim, but I heard the question answered by my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal. In the name of his Rebbe, the Rosh Hashiva, HaGoyim, the Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Rav Moshe answered, what do you see? You see a tremendous yisod in Amunah. Unbelievable yisod in Amunah. Namely, the Gemara says in Tainus, Kol man the Yavir Rachman or the Tav Aviv. Whatever Hashem does, He does for the good. And even God forbid when a terrible, terrible event occurs to a Jew and it looks like a klala, and there's no greater klala than that, we have to believe, Shakol v'tova. Whatever Hashem does, it's for good. And we are obligated to accept it, just like we accepted the klalos on what mountain? Har Evel. And this you see in the Pasuk over here, Tesvah, where the Torah says, V'yanu kolam, v'yanu omeh. The question is, you asked this question, I believe, Noach. Why did the Torah, I've been thinking about it for the last 2 hours since you asked it, why did the Torah stress in the Amiras HaBrachas, omeh, like the Klolos? The Brachas also said, V'kol rom yozneham. That's the question you asked, if you don't mind my calling you. He's my Rebbe. You know my Rebbe? There are a lot of Noachs here, but both of them are my Rebbe. So what do you see? The Chiddush is, the Torah wants to tell us, a Jew has to answer Amen, even when? Even to a klal. And it comes to this yisod, called man the Avir Rachman or the Tav Avir. Baruch Hashem, you are this year in Yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, we have outstanding Shana Bet students. They're diamonds, each one. And we have a beautiful contingent of Shana Aleph students. Wow, I'm very nispal from the Shana Aleph students we have in our yeshiva. You're a wholesome group. Mali Simcha, you're a good example. He's telling me a whole shtickle Torah. He should be the Rosh Hashiva. I don't know what I'm doing yet. A whole shtickle Torah. I asked him, he comes into the class. Well, you didn't come in. I invited you in. And then I asked him, what kiddush should you do? He tells me a whole shtickle Torah. Wow. At his age, you know where I was holding? I'm still holding by that. And Baruch Hashem, here we have someone. Wow, wow. Learning Torah is the greatest simcha. You'll see, it will change your life, it will transform you, it will metamorphose you. Besides becoming closer to Hashem Yisbarach, you already are, you'll become even literally, in terms of your pristine character and your sterling luster of character, even greater than you are. And it will bring you not only simcha in your personal life, in your collective lives, but undoubtedly, it will bring simcha to Hashem Yisbarach and to Klal Yisrael. Halavai, we should have a chedesh elo of tremendous learning, a bracha batzlacha, and beis Hashem. Hashem should give all of us a ksiva v'chasiva teva, a lein v'alko yitzel, amen.